الله الله
إيدر
القابض الباسط الخافض الرافع المعز المذل السميع البصير الحكيم.
You're listening to EDARS.com.
الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وما آتاكم الرسول فخذوه وما نهاكم عنه فانتهوا. صدق الله العظيم. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. دروش بالله. Respected brothers, respected elders, mothers and sisters listening at home, during the blessed era of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, many missions were undertaken by Hazrat Ali radiyallahu ta'ala an. Suratul Mumtahina is just one example, which is the 60th chapter of the Quran, in the 28th juz of the Quran. The very first ayah, verse of Suratul Mumtahina. Mumtahina in the Arabic language means the examiner. The examiner. And in this ayat kareema, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of an incident which occurred with a Sahabi whose name was Hazrat Hatib ibn Abi Baltah. Hazrat Hatib ibn Abi Baltah radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. And in this incident, once again, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam appointed Hazrat Ali radiyallahu ta'ala anhu towards an important task, which inshallah in our session tonight will be explained thoroughly. During the time of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, going to the period after the Treaty of Hudaybiyah, a lady whose name was Sarah, she came to Madinatul Munawwara. Now this woman was a celebrity at that time, well known in Arabia, a very famous singer in the city of Makkah, a vocalist, and everyone knew her. So when she came to Madinatul Munawwara, of course, everyone recognized her. That, hey, we know this lady, she's Sarah from Makkatul Mukarramah, the very famous singer in Arabia, and especially in the city of Makkah. No one could sing like this lady. So she was well known even to the people of Madina Munawwara. And when she came, a lot of people were around her, wondering why would she want to come to Madinatul Munawwara. And of course, her coming was only to meet Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Again, we see the beautiful character of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Unmatched character. This impeccable character. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praises Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَى خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had blessed Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to the highest pinnacle of good conduct. And so he would never deprive any individual. He would never deprive anyone. Of course, all of the actions were with a very good reason, that possibly this lady would embrace Islam. And so when she came asking people where Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam was, she was dressed up appropriately, of course, understanding that she had to respect Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And you will find that with a lot of the Muslim community even today, that when they come to the masjid, very politely, very kindly, they would request that, what is the dress code if we come and visit the masjid? And subhanallah, they will abide by the Islamic dress code when they come to visit the masjid. And so she came respectably to meet Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam greeted her and said to her that, tell me, have you come to Madinatul Munawwarah with the intention like the other companions of Makkah who migrated from Makkah to Medina for the pleasure of Allah and His Rasul? That is your coming hijrah? Is your coming a migration for the pleasure of Allah and His Rasul? And she said no. Thereafter Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to this woman Sarah, that tell me, are you here because you want to embrace Islam? You want to accept Islam? And this lady Sarah said no. And then Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to her, then what brings you to the city of Madinatul Munawwarah? A lady with name and fame, not shame, name and fame, subhanallah. And you're a lady that people would shower money, dirham and dinar on you. And so what brings you to Madinatul Munawwarah? And she started off by saying that yes. And she said to Huzur alayhi salatu wassalam that you come from a very noble elite clan from the Qurayshi tribe. And a lot of the people who have come here with you, who have migrated, are also well-known individuals from the Qurayshi tribe. And she said that things have changed in Makkatul Mukarramah. And especially after the Battle of Badr, when the elite leaders of Makkah were all killed by the hands of the Muslims. And so there are no people, there's no one in Makkah who can fund me, and there's no one inviting me again. No one wants to hire me, and no, I'm not, never hired for the functions. And so my business has ended. And she said that living in Makkah has become impossible. As far as money is concerned, I have no money. And in fact, I have difficulty in feeding myself and looking after myself. And there's no one in Makkah to support me. And this is my condition and the reality of this woman, Sarah, who comes to you. That there is no boom in business anymore. Everybody wants to come to Medina Munawwara. Everybody is attracted to this man whose name is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. This singer, this female singer, is no longer an attraction. But this great man, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, is the greatest attraction. Subhanallah. You know, testimony that comes from the kuffar, even women that were there. And so Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, what do you want from me? And she said that, I know that there is no one in the Arabian Peninsula as generous as you. I come to you, and I know for a fact that no one would return back to Makkah empty-handed after meeting you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And she said that, I come to you so that you can help me financially, and that I can have some support in the city of Makkatul Mukarramah. Immediately Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, not looking at her that at this moment she's not a Muslimah. And we need to look at that also. Alhamdulillah, we have a system in Islam. One is zakat. Zakat is money that belongs to your brethren, to the community, to the Muslim community. So zakat is only for the Muslims. Zakat is only for the Muslims. But then again, we have nafal charity, optional charity. Doesn't have to be your obligatory portion that you have taken out, which is farz. That is to be distributed to your Muslim brothers. But one is optional charity, one is nafal charity, and that you can give to any individual, you know, and to be more humane, which is also good. And this is also the sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So immediately he invited the Banu Abdul Muttalib, the clan of Abdul Muttalib, and said, all of you quickly prepare some funds for this lady. And a lot of money was collected for this one woman, clothes and food, and everything was prepared, and everything was given to Sarah. And Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, everything what I could do, I have done for you, and now if you wish to return back to Makkatul Mukarramah, you are free to do so. This was Sarah who came to Madinatul Munawwara. Coincidentally, what had happened is that this incident had taken place when the pagans of Makkah did not honor the Treaty of Hudaybiyah. They failed to honor the Treaty of Hudaybiyah. And at that time, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam was making secret preparations to march onto the city of Makkatul Mukarramah and to take complete control of the city of Makkah. So this was the secret mission of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam at that time. And when Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam had informed some of the individuals of this very important intention of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that I will go and we will go as a group, an army, to Makkatul Mukarramah as Fatih, to conquer and to invade the city of Makkatul Mukarramah, only a few individuals were informed of this information. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam did not wish that this information was to be divulged, not even prematurely, not even by hearsay, that perhaps Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam is intending to do so. But this news got to one Sahabi whose name was Hazrat Hatib ibn Abi Baltah radiallahu ta'ala, and he was a Sahabi. Now, seizing at the opportunity that he saw that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam very soon will make an intention to march towards the city of Makkah, and so what he did is that he decided, which was of course a mistake on his behalf as a Sahabi, he informed the people of Makkah of the intentions of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Now, just to open up for you a clear picture, who is Hazrat Hatib ibn Abi Baltah radiallahu ta'ala? He comes from Yemen, and originally all the family members are from Yemen. He came to the city of Makkah. When he met up with Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he embraced Islam at the hands of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he decided to stay in Makkah. Thereafter, when the Muhajirun companions had migrated to Madinatul Munawwara, he also migrated to Madinatul Munawwara. But the difficulty was that the family was trapped in the city of Makkah whilst he was in Madinatul Munawwara. And like so many families were trapped in the city of Makkatul Mukarramah, besieged by the pagans of Makkatul Mukarramah. And the people that were there, what would generally happen is that the kuffar, the mushrikeen, would torture them. Mental torture, physical torture, a lot of persecution, excruciating pain was given to them, especially families that were vulnerable. And what is meant by vulnerable? Families who did not have strong ties, strong family ties in the city of Makkah. And so what would happen is that the family of this Sahabi, he was from Yemen, and so he had no family ties in the city of Makkatul Mukarramah. And so it was extremely difficult for the family, for the children. They would suffer at the hands of the kuffar, at the hands of the kuffar in Makkah. As for other Muhajirun families, because of the strong clan family ties behind, even though they were Muslims, there was a lot of safety and amnesty was given to them because they were related to certain tribes. But in the case of this Sahabi, Hazrat Hatib ibn Abi Baltah, he had no family connections in the city of Makkatul Mukarramah. And so he decided that, let me inform the people of Makkah hoping that if I do a favor to them, in return they will do a favor to me, and that favor would mean that they would not torture the family members. So this was his intention, to minimize the suffering of the family. To minimize the suffering of the family. So let me do them a favor, and in return I'm sure they will do me a favor. Now this was the system in Arabia. If you did ihsan upon someone, these were people who would always remember. This was in their blood, even though they were kuffar. Ihsan was ihsan. If you did good to someone, it was returned back to you. And so he knew, if I give them an important information such as Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam's intentions, for sure my family would be spared. But subhanallah, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam is rahmatul lil alameen, and we need to understand that he is not alimul ghaib. He is not alimul ghaib. Alimul ghaib and allamul ghuyub is only Allah. He's only Allah. That you don't have to be a great scholar to understand that. It is only Allah whose knowledge is so vast that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows everything that happens before, future, past, whatever. And everything is in the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because He is Allahul Ghuyub. Quran explicitly makes this declaration. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا يَنْتِكُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيُ يُوحَىٰ. And in another verse of the Quran, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, لَا أَعْلَمُ الْغَيْبِ. I'm not a man who knows of everything of the unseen, but what I know is what I am informed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was informed. And so he knew. Jibreel Amin came, and the entire picture was given to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that what Hazrat Hatib ibn Abi Balta had done. And so Hatib ibn Abi Balta did not know. What he did is that he gave this letter to this lady whose name was Sarah, who came at that time to visit Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had given her all her necessities and the goods that she wanted. And he said to this lady Sarah that, I want you to do me a favor, it is to your advantage, keep this letter with you and give it to the leaders of Makkah. And so what she did is that she took the letter from Hazrat Hatib ibn Abi Balta and she hid the letter. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam called Hazrat Ali. Now the reason for me to mention this incident is because again we see during the time of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam the contributions that come from this great sahabi Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an, who was the khadim of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to Hazrat Ali, and with Hazrat Ali there was another sahabi whose name was Abu Marthad, and another sahabi whose name was Hazrat Zubair ibn Awam radiallahu ta'ala, and famous sahabi. Hazrat Zubair again was another very strong character individual. And so Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, I'm making Ali the Amir over the three of you. And he said to Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala, I want you to immediately go and intercept the caravan that is there in which this lady is traveling. And Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam gave all the information that the bearer of this letter is also a female, a lady, Sarah. And look at the pinpoint precision and subhanallah, the information that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam gives. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that you will meet her at a location what is known as Rawdhay Khaq. As Rawdhay Khaq. Subhanallah. This is again prophecy and miracles of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. That immediately I want you to go and stop this lady. You will meet her at Rawdhay Khaq. That is where you will meet her. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an with the companions quickly galloped, rapidly going, and got to this zone, Rawdhay Khaq. And as Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam predicted, they stopped this lady. She was sitting on a camel, And Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an said that we want you to stop, we need to have a word with you and we want to talk to you. And so this lady came down, and Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an said that we have information that you are carrying a document, a letter which does not belong to you, and it was given to you by Hazrat Hatib. She was shocked that who can inform Hazrat Ali and these companions that this letter was given to me by Hazrat Hatib. And she was, again, in the beginning she denied, and she said, no, I have no such letter. You can check my bag and my luggage and everything that I have. Sahaba-i Kiram Ajmain started, they interrogated her, started to check, opening up all her bags and everything, but this letter was nowhere to be found. And then she said, I told you, didn't I? I haven't got this letter. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala and now got a bit angry and looked at her in the eyes, and he said that, you know and I know that whatever comes out from the mouth of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is 100% accurate. Is 100% accurate. I know that and you know that. I know that and you know that. Even though you're not a Muslim, but you know that. And he said to her, even if it means that we have to physically search you, we will search you. Even though if it means we have to physically search you, we will search you, but we will not leave until we retrieve this letter and return it back to Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Now when she looked at the eyes of Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala, this man is a man of his word and the strong determination, and she knew that if I say no, this man will do exactly what he is saying. And immediately what she did is she said that, wait. And in one narration it is said that she took the letter out from the plait of her hair, and in another narration it is mentioned that she took out the letter from the loin cloth, from her loin cloth she took it out and she gave it to Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala and said to her, I told you Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is never wrong. I told you Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is never wrong. And said, you are free to go. Subhanallah. And the group of three companions again returned back to Madinatul Munawwara, and this letter is given to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam obviously was disappointed, and he knew that this letter for sure was written by his Sahabi, Hazrat Hatib ibn Abi Baltah, and this was to remain a secret, you know, a top secret mission. How can it be divulged? And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam was extremely disappointed, and he said that, go and call Hatib ibn Abi Baltah. Now, standing close to him was Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala. So Hazrat Umar would come with his swords. This was Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala. And Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala comes and whispers in the ears of Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah, give me an opportunity to behead Hatib ibn Abi Baltah. Give me an opportunity to... What iman? Their level of iman was very different. For them, the words of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was like the verses of the Quran. You could not go against it. You could not disrespect Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And anyone who disrespected Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for the companions it was capital punishment. He should be beheaded. And he said, Ya Rasulullah, give me an opportunity to slit the throat. And Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looked at Umar and said, Umar, let me first hear of this man. And Hazrat Umar said, Ya Rasulullah, but that is his letter. Betrayal, treachery. And to who? To Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And for him to divulge a secret mission. What else do we want, Ya Rasulullah? And of course you had hypocrites in the time of Madinatul Munawwara, of course, at that time. Hatib ibn Abi Baltah, when he was summoned, obviously he knew immediately that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was informed, and he stood in front of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Hatib ibn Abi Baltah, What prompted you to write this letter to your enemies and our enemy? And again we see Hazrat Hatib ibn Abi Balta. And now again from this we can understand that sometimes people take an action for a reason. For a reason. And no matter how it seems from the outset, it is always important that we take in their side of the story. We take in their side of the story. And so he said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah is my witness that my iman is intact. My iman is not shaken to the least. It is not shaken to the least. I am a mu'min and I am a sahabi. He said, but Ya Rasulullah, this was my error, of course, and a mistake which I did, my judgmental error. And he said, I knew for a fact that whether I inform the people of Makkah of your intentions, which is to enter the city of Makkah and to take control of the entire city, whether they are informed or whether this was a secret and you would enter the city of Makkah with surprisingly on them, it would make no difference. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would give you victory anyway. And I was certainly, I had this conviction, and I knew for sure that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had promised him, inna fatahna laka fatham mubina, that this is victory for you, and victory means for Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to enter the city of Makkatul Mukarramah. And therefore I felt that if I give information, at least for that period of time, my family could live in comfort. My family could live in comfort. I knew for sure, Allah will give you victory. It will make no difference to the Muslims anyway. Whether the kuffar find out or they don't have no information. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you victory. I only thought that it would be better if I inform them, perhaps they would show some sympathy to my children and my wife that is in Makkatul Mukarramah. And Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looked at Hazrat Hatib ibn Abi Balta and said that Hatib is saying the truth. Hatib is saying the truth. And this man in desperation did this. We need to understand, this man did this in desperation because of his family. He was looking at his family. The other Muhajirun had other family ties in Makkah. He was a Yemeni. He had no family connections in Makkah. And he knew for sure that who is going to stop Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from victory? Who is going to stop him? And so at least perhaps if I was to inform them, maybe for that period of time, safety could be given to my family. Even then, Hazrat Ali, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala and said, Ya Rasulullah, I am not satisfied. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And if you give me the permission, I will still behead him. If you give me the permission, I will still behead him. And this is mentioned in the books of Tafasir. Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam giving comfort to Hazrat Umar, said to Umar radiallahu ta'ala, Umar, don't you know that Hatib is a Badri Sahabi? Who is he? Are you talking about a man who participated in the battle of Badr? And you know that from amongst my companions, the most elite are the Badri veterans. These were the Mujahideen who fought he is from amongst the 313. He's from amongst the 313. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with them. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala and started crying. And said, Ya Rasulullah, for sure, I know that Hatib is a Badri Sahabi and I forgot this. And Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam accepted the apology and this excuse that came from Hazrat Hatib ibn Abi Baltah radiallahu ta'ala. Again, we need to understand that with regards to Sahaba-i Kiram ajma'een, they were individuals. They were individuals. They were not prophets. Only prophets are protected, infallible. With Sahaba-i Kiram ajma'een, subhanallah, these individuals were special individuals. And from amongst the companions, only a few, if they committed a major sin, the difference is that they were never persistent over gunah-e-kabira. They were never persistent over a major sin. If they committed a sin, only a few, for a reason, then they would also repent with sincerity. And they would never ever return back to that sin. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them the certificate of Jannah in this world. And so, of course, for some of the companions to do something also becomes a lesson for the rest of the ummah. Things that was perhaps not proper in regards to the status of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, then certain actions were done by the companions, and this was in their fate, in taqdeer, so that a lot of the rulings open up for the rest of the community and the rest of the ummah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So we need to understand that this sahabi took an action in a desperation, making sure that at least for that period of time safety is given to the family. But again, from this ayat-e kareema, very important lessons have to be learned. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of how our relationship should be with the kuffar. And in connection to this incident, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the very first verse of Suratul Mumtahina. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَتَّخِذُوا عَدُوِّي وَعَدُوَّكُمْ أَوْلِيَا. Or those who believe, don't take my enemies and your enemies as friends. Don't take my enemies and your enemies as friends. The kuffar. Don't take them as friends. تُلْقُونَ إِلَيْهِمْ بِالْمَوَدَّةِ. Expressing your love for them. وَقَدْ كَفَرُوا بِمَا جَاءَكُمْ مِنَ الْحَقِّ. And especially after rejecting the truth that has come to you. And what did they do? يُخْرِجُونَ الرَّسُولِ. They forced Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam out of Makkah. وَإِيَّاكُمْ. And they forced all of the companions. So they expelled Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam from Makkah. And you were also expelled. Why? أَنْ تُؤْمِنُوا بِاللَّهِ رَبِّكُمْ. Only because you believed in Allah who is your Lord. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنْ كُنْتُمْ خَرَجْتُمْ جِهَادًا فِي سَبِيلِي وَابْتِغَاءَ مَرْضَاتِ تُصِرُّونَ إِلَيْهِمْ بِالْمَوَدَّةِ. And if a group of you was to set out in jihad and to seek my pleasure, would your attitude be that in secrecy you would express your love for these people who are the enemies of Allah and His Rasul? وَأَنَا أَعْلَمُ بِمَا أَخْفَيْتُمْ وَمَا أَعْلَنْتُمْ. And I have the complete knowledge of that which you conceal, and of that أَعْلَنْتُمْ, of that which you reveal. وَمَنْ يَفْعَلْهُ مِنْكُمْ. And anyone from amongst you carries out such actions, فَقَدْ دَلَّ سَوَاءَ السَّبِيلِ. Then he has missed out from the straight path. A very important lesson, my respected brothers, that as Muslims we can't have intimate relationship with the kuffar. This blind love for the kuffar, that you cut away from your Muslim brothers and you are attached only in a society who have no recognition of Allah and His Rasul. This is extremely dangerous. And so this is the core message of this ayat-e kareema. Of course we have to live amongst the wider society and to speak to them. But our relationship with them should only be so that we can invite them to Islam. Now, some important lessons to learn. Today, what is our condition, my respected brothers? We love the kuffar. Let me give you an example. That if, for an example, in football or any other teams that play, or soccer stars, if your team was to lose, people can't sleep in the night. Sleepless nights. Why are you in such pain? Liverpool lost, Manchester United lost, and which other team, Shabir? Huh? Arsenal lost, and who else lost? I won't say Leicester. We live in Leicester, right? But, subhanallah al-azim. And the children also, why would you want a t-shirt with the name of the kuffar? Why? The same thing, Nike, logos, everything. All, everything, manufactured, symbols, signs, everything to do with the kuffar. What is that, my respected brothers? This is exactly what Allah is telling us. That your relationship with the kuffar should be in the right parameters, in the right level, in the right degree. Subhanallah, it is fine to have this shallow relationship with the kuffar, but too deep. I have individuals who come to me, "Mali Saab, you know, I'm in love with this Hindu girl, but she does not want to become a Muslim, and you need to pray my nikah." Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. What a fool you are. What a fool you are. That you have fallen in love. Do you even know the meaning of love? Or is it your lust? And again, that is the time we need to understand. How much love you have for Allah? How much love do you have for Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam? Understandable if there are individuals, even in the sports world, that are Muslims. Understandable. But for a man to be so deep into this blind love of football, and that even when you read your salah, Allahu Akbar, you say Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, but your mind is what's happening with a certain team. Is it 1-0 or is it 2-0? And when I go back after my salah, is it going to be 2-all? And this man can't even concentrate in his salah. Can you imagine the mockery that he is doing with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Ye masti nahi hai to kya hai? Yes, of course, we live in this world, you know, entertainment which is halal. And I'm not one of those people who takes a very extreme view. Subhanallah. Because it is difficult. We are living in the time of fitna. We are living in the time of fitna. But how much love do we have? Our relationship should only be to a degree, to a limit. It should not affect us. It should not affect us. We should be excited when we meet our brothers in Islam. And we must have respect for our community, our brothers. You know, there are 2 billion Muslims in this world, mashallah. Our concern, priority must be given to the brothers. But of course, the secondary issue is that as Muslims, Allah has said, "Kuntum khayra ummatin," you are the best ummah. "Ukhrijat lin nas," and Allah has taken you out for people. And from this ayat kareema we learn, from people means non-Muslims. So we are ambassadors. And so when we talk with these people, we are not to give our hearts to them. We are not to give this dil. This dil in fact belongs only to Allah. And so with the right intention to keep relationship, it is jais, it is accepted. But to have this idea and to adopt, you know, such strong feelings for kuffar, it is wrong. And there is no way a man can marry someone who is not a Muslim, especially a mushrik. And you'll find ladies, Allahu Akbar, Muslim ladies come to me and say, "Mali Saab, this is my boyfriend and we're doing zina, and please save us from zina, and we want to make nikah." I said, "My sister, you want to make nikah, but is this individual a Muslim? What is he? Look at his background, he's a mushrik. He's a mushrik. How can you marry a mushrik? You love someone who has no feelings for Allah and His Rasul." Is there a shortage of men in this world? Is there a shortage of women in this world? Am I? Are there many fishes in the ocean? Many fishes in the ocean, mashallah. And so there is compatibility in Islam. In fact, the Sharia is so disciplined that in according to the fiqh of Imam Malik, Imam Shafi'i, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, "La nikaha illa bi waliyin," that if the father does not give permission, even if you do nikah, the nikah is not valid. If the father don't give permission, your wali, the wali is actually the father. If the father doesn't give permission, your nikah is not valid. Even if the Imam Sahib said, "Ji haan, aapne kabul kiya, ho, mene kabul kiya." Kuch kabul nahi hua. That is according to the majority of the ulama. Majority of the ulama. And so we need not to take Islam as a joke. Islam is serious. When you say you are a Muslim, it means you surrender to the commands of Allah. And so our relationship should be this shallow, light relationship with the good intention that maybe if I befriend this individual, possibly it would be an advantage to the Muslim community. Possibly it would be favorable for the Muslim community. But for you to be affected, for you to be sucked into this system, and that the level of iman, your own iman deteriorates, then this is something, there is something horribly wrong going on in your system. And that is why Allah says, oh, you who believe, don't take my enemies and your enemies as friends, expressing your love for them, and especially after the truth that has come to them. How many people love Allah and His Rasul? But yet our youngsters, we can't sleep if our team loses. We want to become members, we want to do that, we want to do that. Everything should be in moderation, my respected brothers. I'm not saying don't play football, I'm not saying don't enjoy life. Everything in moderation is good. You eat and you keep on eating, you'll die one day. You drive and you just want to drive so fast, and you don't use the brake, you'll die one day. Everything in moderation. Islam is about moderation. Your relationship with the wider community is secondary. And your main source should be your own community. And we need to be well-wishers for our community. And of course, also to look at things in a humane way, but in according to the sharia of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. اللهم صل على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آله وسلم تسليما اللهم تقبل منا وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم سمعنا وأطعنا غفرانك ربنا وإليك المصير برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين